Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we pray for understanding of your truth and understanding of what is going on in this world so that we may rightly and faithfully live and interact with all that is in the world going on around us. There is a focus that we have these days on what is going on around us, because there are people trying to persuade us as to what truth is. And we get various information, even conflicting information. And so we are trying to understand what truth is. Oh, let's see. For instance, on January 6th, there was that so-called insurrection. And we get to look at the evidence that was recorded and try to understand what really happened. Because the reports, well, they can look at the events one way or another. But it is up to us to try to understand and discern what actually went on. And there is now that Steele dossier, and we get to look at what it says and where the truth is in that report. There are just all sorts of things going on around us in the world, and we ask for your help and guidance so that we are able to rightly and faithfully discern what is going on according to your view, Lord. And nowadays there is the events going on in Ukraine, and we are trying to understand what that means and how that will affect our country and our own personal lives. Things are going on, and we desire to understand it in a way that reflects your point of view, Lord, as we seek what is truth and what are we to believe. What can the different sources of news and authorities twist around so that we will accept what we hear instead of questioning it? Oh, we live in quite a world, don't we? Well, we always want to seek what God's truth is and have our relation with Jesus Christ. Well, God gave us the Bible, and that Bible helps us to grow in understanding and apply it to the situations that are in effect today. The Bible gives us real-life examples of what is going on, but we have to apply it to our life, and we have to grasp what liberty means to us and how we value it. Our government, our republic, was founded on the idea of liberty and justice for all. And so we seek that. As we interact with people and forces around us that try to manipulate into doing what they want us to do. And yes, the real life examples in the Bible help us to learn about what goes on and how to interact with it. The Bible is a good book. Well, you know that I talk plenty about preparedness, but I want to remind everyone that we can have the great big things that we might want, which will be different for each one of us. For instance, there are many who would say to have a Berkey water filter and 1,000 pounds of grain would be just great. And that is so very true. But I want to remind everyone that the little items can make a difference. I mean, like small tools, or a knife sharpener, or a nail clipper. Sure, anything, or any of the normal hygiene items. Well, speaking of nail clippers, if you ever might have a baby on the floor in your house, wherever you live, I want to remind you to not leave your nail clippings on the floor or in the carpet, because the floor is where the baby knows. That's the baby's arena. And anything on the floor gets their attention, even a nail clipping. And babies just search for anything and they put it in their mouth. And that's where the danger comes in. A clipped nail in a baby's throat, in their airway, can cause great harm or even worse. So remember, if there are going to be babies around, be extra cautious. You know, with children, we need to use extra caution because they just don't know what could happen if there are changing circumstances, like a disaster. So children are always a concern, and sometimes animals are a concern. Often enough, there's various concerns about animals, yes, about feeding them, yes, about having a cage for them, especially if you are traveling in a car. Oh, I remember from the Paradise Fire, there were people who got away from the fire and they had their cat or dog in the car and they could not open the window because the animal would jump out if the window was put down. So I want to remind everyone that a cage is a good thing, even if you don't like to put your animal in a cage. In an emergency situation, a cage is a good thing. Well, animals are very, very nice to have. But I was listening to James Dobson last week, and he said that we've been told to save the whales. We have been told to save your bottles and aluminum cans. But we hardly ever are told that we should save our pre-born babies. What an interesting observation. Well, our Bible tells us that God is not happy with lives being taken or threatened when they are innocent. Let's see. Job 4:11 says something about that. And in the word, that it tells that God is concerned about the 120,000 children who do not know their right hand from their left. So, there's another example in Exodus 21:22, that if a man hurts a pregnant woman or the child inside of her, he shall be punished. So it's another example of how God wants to protect the innocent. And I think we can certainly look at that. Lately, I've been wondering about the consequences of how we have legally aborted 60 to 7 million babies in the United States. And I wonder if that might have anything to do with the pandemic that has been going on and the deaths that have been caused by that. Certainly, I don't know. But in my thinking, I just kind of wonder about such things. Well, there are people who embrace a dark point of view, ungodly point of view, who believe that there are too many people in the world and that people ought to be controlled or reduced, eliminated, that there's too many people on the earth. So, whatever the cause, it might be a real world cause or a completely spiritual cause that we do not see or understand, there are a lot of people who die, and I don't think there's an obvious answer, but I do see a connection, and I certainly wonder about how valid it is. So, we certainly have a lot going on that we can wonder about. I know one of the things I wonder is about digital currency or blockchain technology, because when that comes about, it's going to literally watch and track everything that we do. And that's only a step towards the beast system. But it certainly seems to be coming about. We have our Federal Reserve trying to figure out what they are going to do about digital currency. And, of course, the blockchain technology would easily be tied to it. We don't know, but we wonder what is going to happen. And what would we do if the beast system really was upon us? To not be able to buy or sell is a big item. And, you know, there was a time when if we didn't have our mask or, in some cases, our vaccine, we were not allowed to go into a certain business and transact whatever it was. And that has gone on in government buildings, in large stock brokerage houses or corporate headquarters, or big businesses or small businesses. It has just gone on all over. So I wonder if we are kind of getting trained for the beast system because of what has come along with COVID. And we just have to use it as an example to say, what would it mean if such and such were to happen? I think about the system in China. In the system in China, there is huge surveillance. Everyone is identified by the facial recognition, or they have other ways of identifying people too. There is a system now in effect in China where when people walk, they can identify a person from their walk, from how the hands are swung and the shoulders are moved and the movement of the legs. So we all have a pretty distinct walk. And the Chinese have figured out how to identify people from their walk. And if the technology is available there, it's certainly available in all parts of the world. And one of the things the Chinese do is they make sure you have a social credit score that is adequate to allow you to, well, really to do anything. To go on a bus outside of your neighborhood, to go on an airplane, to have your children attend certain schools, or to be able to buy luxury items, or be able to rent a certain apartment or house. All these things are determined by your social credit score in China. So we get to just see what's going on in this country and ascertain if we are going to be a part of that system. And you think we're not? Huh, yeah, how? How are you going to avoid becoming a part of that system? Well, maybe you will. After all, if we take the mark, we know our destiny has been changed from heaven with God to hell with Satan. So we certainly do not want to take that mark of the beast. But there are systems that are going to, force or encourage us to become a part of it. And yes, the beast system is a part of it. And I think that this COVID vaccine is training to get involved with whatever is going to happen with the next system, whether we look at banking or social, like where we go to school, or what we can do with this or with that. Something is going to come about. And as far as I can tell, it's going to be here relatively soon. Now, I don't mean next week or next month. I mean soon. But is that in a year or two? I don't know. But if an emergency situation comes up, we could have an immediate change, just like there has been in China, just like there has been in India. And those were over populations with over a billion people in each country. So it can happen. It can happen with a medium, small country like the United States of America. And we better think about what we would do if that system, that beast system, were to come about in our country. You also can recall the World Economic Forum that has talked about how to put a system into effect throughout the world. And they talk about social credit scores, and they talk about a connected world, and a world where you will own nothing and be happy. And therefore, if you want a bike, you can rent one. If you want a car, you can rent one. Won't be yours to own, but you can have it to use, to rent. Well, this is what their vision of the future includes: owning nothing and being happy. Well, we can only examine whether this plan will be forced or put into place, well, sort of voluntarily. I'm sure it'll be a little bit of both. But the World Economic Forum has been working on this plan for years now, and they are trying to implement it in every country of the world to have it control millions of, well, billions of people. That's their idea. And a part of it is through the health passport, and a part of it is through, well, social programs. And all this is a way to include the entire population of the earth into their plan. And you know that we get, well, urged or somehow we want to comply with the system. And that's what happened with the COVID vaccines, too. There were people who were confronted with, if they didn't get that vaccine, they would not be able to keep their job. And you know that without a job, there is anxiety about how anyone would feed themselves and their family. And then there's anxiety about being able to make the payments on their home or their car or anything else. So, we want our liberty, huh? Well, there are passages in the Bible that tells us how to live so we can have liberty and freedom. And it takes study. It's something which we also have to apply in our own life. It's not easy to figure out how to do it, but the choice is we either go into the system or we stay out of the system. And we have a lot going on with our financial world interests and all that. See, our Federal Reserve and our Treasury have been, they've been creating dollars and allowing our United States Congress to spend all that money faster and faster than ever before in U.S. history. And the Congress is doing just that. They are spending so much money, more than ever before, by far, in the whole history of the United States. Actually, the whole history of the world. Well, let's see. I looked this up on Google a few days ago, and it's generally correct what they're saying, and you can find where it can be adjusted a little bit. But what they say is 20% of all U.S. dollars were printed into existence in 2020. And 40% of all U.S. dollars were created since 2021. Well, if you look at those figures pretty closely, you can adjust them a little bit, but we have to recognize the vast amount of printing of U.S. dollars that has been done in the last few years. And it can be printing in actual dollars, like $100 bills, or it can be digitally distributing our U.S. dollars, which is another form of printing dollars or creating money. And with every dollar that is created, it also creates, it creates a debt, because that's the system that we have, besides the United States spending so much as a government. Well, so much of the financial world is ignoring these dangers, the facts about the dollars and our debt as a country, as a municipality, as a family, all of it. Just debt, debt, debt. And let's see. There was, in 2021, Stephen Roach wrote an article in Bloomberg titled, "The Crash of the U.S. Dollar Has Only Just Begun." So, yes, brace yourself. Well, there are people who recognize what happens when dollars or any other currency are just printed and printed and printed. Of course, Zimbabwe is the most recent example. There was also in the past the famous examples of both Germany and Austria in the 1920s, 30s, right in there. So if we are printing all this money, it is destabilizing everything, business, government, and our personal lives. So he says, brace yourself. And I say, yes, study what happens when a monetary system collapses. And you can examine those examples and try to understand what you should do when the currency is on its way to becoming worthless. If that happens, only things that you can hold have value. The values of currency becomes just about zero. And things have a value, like tools or a sewing machine, or something like that. The financial people always talk about gold and silver. And sure, get some of that. It's fine. That's a good thing to have also. But we only have so much we can do. There are limitations on everything, and what we have and what we can do and afford and all of that. So, there's one other thing that all of us can do, if we can, is have paid for property. Property without a loan, that is a mortgage, and all that. And if you do have a paid for property, it's wise to have cash on hand to pay the taxes and insurance. So everybody has a different idea. Every financial person has a different idea. And I don't know that any one of us should follow someone else's idea, because then we're just doing what we are told, and we don't have a personal understanding of what we do. So I like to say we each should study this problem and understand for our own self what we should do about it and come to our own conclusions. Do that while our money still has value, as every year it's going to deteriorate. Whether the inflation rate is 10%, like some people say, or 25%, like other people say, that means your money is losing value every year. Oh, and that is a reason why you might want to donate to churches or charities while your money still has a reasonable value. Well, regular inflation has always been a problem, but the big problem really comes around when it's hyperinflation. And there's plenty of people who say the USA is on its road to hyperinflation. It's a known path. Everybody knows what hyperinflation is about and how to get there. But our politicians and our money people, they keep going down the same path towards not just inflation, but hyperinflation. And it's happened so many times in the last 100 years that it is a very clearly known formula about what brings hyperinflation. And the United States of America is following right down that known course to hyperinflation. Just look at history. You can see how clear it is. It has happened all the time in the last 100 years. Even today it goes on. There's a couple of countries with great inflation, even hyperinflation. Let's see. Here's one, Argentina. Argentina's central bank has just imposed a 42% interest rate. Can we even imagine that? You want to buy a washing machine, you need a loan, 42%. You want to buy a house, 42% interest each year. That's so outlandish. But if you look at what the inflation rate is, it makes it more understandable. They are having a 51% rate of inflation each year. So while their government statistics show that their economy is growing at a rate of 10%, it does not take into account what the currency will actually purchase, what the value of the currency is. But the numbers are what the numbers are, and people who deal with numbers tend to manipulate them, whether it's a private company or a government. It's natural to the process. So what we can do is look at what other countries have done in the past, what happens before or after a currency has collapsed, and then see how to apply that understanding to the United States of America and our own personal financial situation. Study it out yourself so that you can examine what you want to do about what is certainly coming our way. Well, we have to each expect what to do. I don't expect you to follow anyone's advice, not mine, not a financial advisor's, no one. I think you have to make those valuations in your own understanding, because otherwise we won't do them. If somebody tells you, go buy gold, if somebody says, pay off your property, whatever they say, do you really think you're going to do it? Not until the understanding is in your brain and in your thinking and what you do. So that's why I say you have to study it out so that you can make determination about what preparation steps you can take that will make a difference. You could say if and you could say when this crash occurs. Most people would say if. But as a history guy, I've seen it happen too many times in history, and I say it's when. But there again, that's for you to grasp and understand. What will happen, and when will it happen, and what will you do about it? Well, I've been warning about this for years, because the pattern is clear. To me, a history guy, I see it clearly. And I've talked about our national debt plenty of times, how exceedingly large it is. It's now about $30 trillion. So I'll say it again about seconds, and what a million seconds equals is 12 days. What a billion seconds equals is 32 years. And a trillion seconds equals 32,000 years. So you can see how great a $30 trillion national debt is. Can you see that there's reason to expect a monetary collapse? Well, then look for yourself and consider how a collapse would affect you and what you should do about it. You have to grasp it and make that decision. Lately I've been hearing people who are talking about the effects of the collapse hitting us in a noticeable way before the end of this year, before the end of 2022. They talk about in the second half of 2022. Now, I don't know what to say. I have been wrong about these things in the past, but I still see the clear path to it happening. To me, it's so clear. And I urge every person who can hear this, or every person, actually, to try to understand what they ought to do when or if there is a monetary collapse, which will then affect our society and our government and everything else. So have that look. We have things going on in the world, and these wars and rumors of wars could affect us in ways that we don't expect. They could just change a lot of the things that we know. I know I've talked about China taking up all the world's excess food and buying it up, and what that has done is increased the United States food prices by 10% to 15%. Well, things are going on. We know about Russia. It's been in the news so much in the last few days. And if you think, you know about China also, how China is poised to take over Taiwan. I mean, they're getting ready. But what has the U.S. done? The U.S. has put a couple of advanced United States submarines pretty close to Taiwan. And then the U.S. has had 100 U.S. Marines training the Taiwanese forces in Taiwan. So we have to just wonder, is this where we want our troops and what we want them to do? How vital is Taiwan to our U.S. national security? It's a question, and there can be several parts to this answer, but our vital interests are important to defend, but our military would certainly get stretched thin. Well, like I said, we know about the Ukraine, and we know that our U.S. military has a few thousand military troops in the neighborhood of Ukraine. I haven't heard of any of them in Ukraine, but they are in that neighborhood. So what we can see is what is going around in our whole world. And from all that is going on, we could see how our whole world could suddenly become embroiled in conflict. And doesn't the Bible say there will be wars and rumors of wars? Yes. Well, there are these things going on. And if you recall last week, I talked about Revelation chapter 18 to show how very, very suddenly something could happen, a collapse. Yes, that's really what it's about. Or it could even be a nuclear bombing of the United States or a couple of cities there. Well, it's an indicator right in our Bible, and we can see how these things can come about. And therefore, it only makes sense to me to prepare what could very well be happening. And again, without warning, that Revelation chapter 18 tells about how suddenly it will happen. In a day, in an hour, something will happen so suddenly that we won't have any time to prepare for anything. We will not have a chance to go to the store, to get money out of the bank, to do anything, nothing. It will be done and over before we are able to prepare. And that's why I say, prepare now while we have a chance. If you want some motivation, read Scripture. That's a pretty good motivation telling you what God has said would be happening. Of course, we don't know the timing, but I have heard quite a few people, prophetically minded people, who have said to brace yourself. Now, that little article out of Bloomberg where the author says, brace yourself, just kind of made me think of those prophetically minded people. I don't know what else to call them. But there has been a message which repeats and says, brace yourself. So are you ready for what's coming when we don't even know what it is? But we can do something. Now, I know there's people who think about what you can do for the just in case, whether it's a natural disaster or a man-made conflict or just riots in the streets. There are plenty of reasons to get things that we would call preparedness needs. You know what they are, don't you? They are whatever you think. But I think of water and a water filter, food and warmth. The list can be so much longer, but what will keep us alive is water, food, and warmth. And yeah, sure, people have everything that they might want. I think of flashlights, I think of a knife sharpener, I think of quite a few things, but that's for each one of us to decide. I hope that you look around our country and you see how the conditions are lining up where drastic changes could happen not only suddenly, they could happen immediately. And yes, we can look at what they can be. Look at them if you want. But the point is to recognize that things could happen suddenly. Drastic changes could happen immediately. And that is, I hope, a motivation for you to examine what you could do if it were to suddenly come about. What would you want to have on hand? So, it helps to look and search out the matters. I certainly think, like I've said, water, food, and supplies, and then you know which ones they are. And I say to write them down so that you get everything on your list and you don't get too many of one item. Because if you think about preparing, your mind will probably go back to one item time and time again. And then you get 10 of those when you only needed one or two. So just look at what's going on if you need a motivation to get your supplies. Ukraine is going on, and it could go on to settle down, or it could go on to become a worldwide war and conflict. It could be either, and we just don't know. One of the things I see going on is cyber attacks. Apparently, Russia is cyber attacking Ukraine. And so there are things going on where services are stopping, like electricity, like banking, like their cell phones don't work anymore. And really, those are things that could happen anywhere, even in the United States of America. We could see those things happening. There are reports of all sorts of things going on. The reports of the Russian military that are jamming the frequencies that the U.S. military would use for its communications. There's people who talk about Russia has activated its over-the-horizon radar. And that, of course, is what they would do in the event of a war, you know, a big war or a little war. But that is what Russia is doing. Another thing that Russia is doing is telling its residents of Moscow where to go if there is a nuclear attack. The shelters have been fitted with everything that they would need. They've been filled with water, food, supplies, and equipment. So if there is a nuclear exchange, the Moscow residents, if they do what they're supposed to, could come out of it pretty well. It is just anyone's guess what could happen, though, and that's a part of what we're to do, is we're to examine the what if and see what we want to do to prepare for the just in case. Well, how concerned should we be? You know, I still know of plenty of Christians who say, don't be worried because we will all be raptured before any trouble comes our way. Yeah, can you prove that according to the Bible? Well, if you go through enough scriptures here and there, you can make the scriptures come together so that it says that. That's not what I read. I suppose you have to look at the Bible yourself and try to understand that one. But look at the Bible yourself. I would even say look at the Bible themes. What I have seen is that God leaves people where we are, and then God helps us to get through the times of trouble as we rely on Him. So you just have to look for yourself. But if you don't look, you won't have all the tools you need to discern what is going on right in front of you. So take some time to become understanding scripture, or you could even call it educated to what's going on. You get to figure that one out. It's a personal decision, but we all get the consequences of our decisions. And if there is no rapture, that is pre-trib or whatever, you're going to suffer if you expected to be raptured out of trouble. So get some of that just in case your decisions have consequences that you did not expect. Well, we have things going on these days where some of it is out of our control. Of course, if you're looking at the heads of state, you can see that there is a whole lot of ego in the powerful men that are talking to each other or past each other or whatever it is. They are in charge of lots of important things, like a military. So it's something that we get to just kind of understand that people are not predictable. And so we cannot tell what those powerful leaders are going to do. That reminds me of an animal story. Well, it was a few years back, but there was some kind of an animal in the yard that came day after day and really messed things all around. And it didn't leave any tracks that I could see, so I didn't know what it was. And what I did was I got a live animal trap, which was a cage, and soon enough I caught a very, very large raccoon. It was heavy, but I loaded it up and took it far away on a dirt road. And after about an hour of driving, I found a place for it where it could easily run downhill into a thicket. Well, I got the live trap down, and with a stick I opened the door, and to my surprise, that raccoon was angry, and it turned to face me, and it looked to me like it was going to charge right at me. Well, a couple of minutes passed, and then it went off the dirt road and down the hill. But my point here is that animals can do things that we don't expect, and people can do things we don't expect. And when I think of those world leaders and powerful men, they can do things that we don't expect. So that's a part of preparedness also. We want to prepare for the unexpected. Now, animals and people, they do surprise us. And let's see. This was last week in the newspaper. It was reported that a 500-pound black bear had broken into 30 properties in the Lake Tahoe area. Well, previous to that, in the weeks previous, there were over 100 properties which apparently the bear broke into. So there were reports, but I don't think there was any video footage to prove it in most cases. My point is unexpected things happen, whether it's with an animal or a person. And I know that we get reports of things happening with animals, like in Arkansas, there were huge problems with feral pigs. And last year, they somehow eliminated 27,000 feral pigs from their state. That's a lot of pigs. 27,000 feral pigs. I can't imagine. The number is too great. When I try to visualize 27,000 pigs, I don't even know what they would have done with it, all those animals. But my point is still, that animals do things that we don't expect, and so do people. Speaking of animals, my mind just kind of goes to these places. I think about the frogs and the boiling point. So you think about boiling a frog slowly, it gets boiled. But if you put it into the hot water, it jumps out. And I just kind of relating that to what has gone on in the world where citizens are doing what they're told. They are following the dictates of the law. And there are mandates and dictates, and those are not law. Law is made by a body which makes laws. Dictates and mandates are done according to government decree. And so, there are people who don't want to obey dictates and mandates. Well, it's certainly a question, and they're concerned about a tyrannical form of government or a dictatorship coming about. So that's why we have elected representatives passing laws. But I guess I started out with that idea of hot water and the frogs. So the idea is that people are getting more and more accustomed to obeying the orders that have been made by government. And then we have to try to figure out what is going on with whatever those requirements are, whatever the health mandates are. And you know that the health mandates are so often obeyed. And it's a matter that we each have to seek understanding about and try to determine what our government talks about, what our Bill of Rights and our Constitution talk about, and our Founding Fathers' information is also very great. Because things happen. Surprises happen. If you think about what happens in an emergency where so many of these mandates and dictates come from, when there's an emergency, you have to recognize that we have to use caution. You know, I think about why we have not had problems in the world, and I think about our United States military as being so awesome and powerful. And they are very awesome and powerful. But I do want to remind everyone that in history, surprises have happened, even to our government, our military. A lot of surprises have happened, things that nobody expected to happen. For instance, we had the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis, and in 1963, we had the USS Pueblo that was captured. The crew and the ship was captured by North Korea. In 1964, we had, what was that ship that was torpedoed in off of Vietnam, and that brought us into the Vietnam War. After that, there have been more surprises that happened. Oh, by the way, that ship that was torpedoed off of Vietnam, it was reported as being torpedoed, and that's why the United States went to war with Vietnam. But decades later, it was found that what really happened is the boiler exploded, and that is what sunk the ship. So, things happen. Oh, 2016. Do you remember when two Navy command boats were captured by Iran? And you remember how the crew members were paraded out before the world? That was another surprise. Even our surprise in last year, 2021, when we had the Afghanistan retreat. That was a surprise. So I'm telling you that surprises happen even to our awesome and powerful military. So that's another reason. Nobody has supplies for us civilians. We have to get our own supplies and do it ourselves for the people that we care about, whether they're family, friends, children, or charity. All those things are reason to have things lined up so that we have them. I was thinking about this situation with Russia, and I thought, you know, would they really want to bomb the United States? No, I don't think so. But I did think of a situation. Now, this is just my imagining. It's not a true situation at all. Can you imagine a phone call from Putin to Biden saying, our automatic missile system just detected a U.S. launch against Russia, and now Russia has automatically launched two ICBMs against your East Coast and your West Coast cities. We did not mean to launch. It was an accident. We are not at war. We will pay for your damages. Please do not launch against Russia. It was a mistake, an accident. And we will provide you with the path that the missiles will take so you can shoot them down. Now, what do you think would happen if an American president heard that? What would happen? Would that be an act of war? Would that destroy the United States by a surprise attack? I mean, I don't know the situation. I'm just thinking of accidents that happen and what would we do. So that came to mind. We do have indicators that both China and Russia really are opposed to the United States. And they do things and say things. Even if they say one time that they're our friend, another time they will use words that indicate they want to militarily conquer the United States. That is both Russia and China. So another little thing is USS commander of the United States forces in Central and South America, Admiral Craig Fuller, reported that there were Russian and Chinese troops along the southern border of the United States. It's a question. What does it mean? I don't think we know, but we sure better recognize that there is reason to be cautious. He also reported that there was money laundering and drug smuggling going on in that area, apparently by the Chinese. So we have things going on. You know what it means? I don't know what it means. But it's things going on that we can be careful and cautious about. So I urge everyone to get their preparedness supplies together for that just in case, with Revelation chapter 18 telling us things will happen suddenly, in an hour, in a day. Now, any broadcast you can listen to again by going to www.christtoday.org. And of course, my free preparedness pamphlet is available to anybody, and I ask you to send a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. I thank you for listening today. I thank the people who have donated very much. You stay on my prayer list. And just a big thanks again for listening together today. And may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to every nation.